In a world where roughly 95 to 99% of dishes in American homes are machine-made, Abigail, with Taste and See Ceramics, is putting the clay back in the potter's hands. Hand-thrown and hand-glazed during nap time and bedtime, each mug is made with care and purpose. Inspired by the Proverbs 31 woman, Abigail has set a goal to sell 3,000 mugs in 2026. Support their family business at tasteandseeceramics.com or find them on Instagram and Facebook. Use code 3000 for 10% off your order and to be added to the list of people who make this dream a reality. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I'm here today with Becky, Kate, and JC Cohen. So you've been on Fruitful and Fearless before, though.
I think a couple
times. Yeah, I think you have too. So you may have heard her on the on a podcast with us before. But she's here again today because we're talking about books. It's the books episode. I feel like there needs to be a jingle. Like, it's the books episode.
So, you know, you want to go make
yeah,
a jingle?
Yeah, please. You do that. You go do a jingle. The one you've been waiting for. So we're going to talk about our books that we read last year, but we're not going to talk about kid books because we're going to do another episode that is books that we read with our kids or books that they read that we thought were cool. So today we're just going to talk about our books that we read. So want to jump right in. Should we categorize this?
Probably.
Normally what we do is like life application books, fiction books. I don't know. Is there other categories that I do? I can't remember.
I think life application, fiction, nonfiction, because there's some other nonfiction ones, or like biography,
things like that.
Okay. Where'd Kate go? She disappeared.
I think her daughter needed her.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's mothering.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump in then. Let's start with fiction, because it's my favorite.
Okay. I did a couple of good classics this year. Well, a few. Let's see. So I did Emma and Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen. I had a goal of finishing all of the Jane Austens, and then I got really annoyed with Sense and Sensibility. It totally cut me off, and so I was like, forget it. But Emma was really, really good.
I liked Emma.
Yes, I love it.
I like the movie, too.
Yes, it's so funny. I love it. So many people, when they think of Jane Austen, they just think, like, romance, but she's so funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny and lighthearted. I liked it.
Because she just knows people so well, and Annabelle and I also, well, we're not doing kids.
It's okay. Some of these are crossover. That's what I was saying before we started. I'm like, some are crossover. It's going to be hard not to mention. So we can re-mention later if we want to.
Yeah. But I got into the Anne of Green Gables series.
Oh.
That was really fun. Those are just like very lighthearted, easy, and you like read through.
How many are there?
Seven.
Is there eight? Okay. I've never read any of them.
Is that in the Anne of Avonlea series too?
Yes. That's the second one.
Okay.
So I'm on number five right now. But yeah. And then I also did Great Expectations. That was fun. It was obviously a really good book.
I really want to hold him.
I've got Kate's fanning. Obviously, it was a very good book because Charles Dickens is amazing. I didn't really, like, connect. You read that one too, right?
Yeah, I still haven't finished it. I've been reading it through audiobook when I'm working at my brother's. I work there one day a week. So I have very small chunks that I'm doing through it, but I'm probably like 3/4 of the way through. But I've liked it so far.
Yeah, I really liked it too. But do you feel like you connected with anyone? Like, there's a character.
I loved Pip on the first section. Pip in the first section when he's little. It was just so a little boy. And I just like related with him because of our little boys. And I'm like, oh, you just seem like a naughty little boy and you're funny. And when we got into the second part, whenever he's in his new life.
Yeah.
And I didn't as much, and I got a little lost, and that's why I'm not done with it yet, because I just, like, lost interest of it.
Yeah. I think I just kept wanting him to be, like, take charge, be a man.
He seems lost a lot.
He just kind of, like, wanders around. And
side note, Jared got a bunch of old copies of the complete works of Charles Dickens books yesterday.
So
just
cool.
Saying. Yeah, on Facebook Marketplace.
Is it Christmas Carol one of them?
Yeah, the complete works.
The complete works.
Yeah. So he called me after I got off work yesterday and he was like, so I just met a guy at basketball practice from Facebook Marketplace and got the complete works of Charles Dickens. I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
Bless you.
And then the other two fictional ones I did were The Great Gatsby and Breakfast at Tiffany's. And I feel like both of those were very, not similar. They had similar moods. Like just kind of.
Had you read The Great Gatsby before?
I had not.
I love The Great Gatsby. I read it when Jared and I were first married, and I love that book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's short. So it's one of those that you like can't stop reading and you just bust through it. And it's just like an interesting.
Yeah. It's not a feel-good book.
No.
You don't
know
after you read it.
No, but it's such an interesting story, yeah. Like character study.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how Breakfast at Tiffany's is, too. I don't know if you know that storyline at all.
No. I didn't know it was a book.
Yeah. It is by Truman Capote. And it's about a young woman who gets married very, very young, like as a teenager, and is taking care of all of her husband's grown children, basically. They're all almost as old as she is. And she runs away and is living in New York, living like this high life and just parties all the time. And she is very lost, trying to find this great life that she's always wanted. You know, she's always wanted to be
fancy
in the fashion world and in the movie world, and she's always on to some new thing.
Do you know when that was written?
Oh gosh, why did you ask that?
No, I'm sorry.
I just didn't know
around when it was written.
Well, yeah, like the mid 90s probably. Like
okay.
Maybe the
okay. So it's in,
I don't know, the 40s or 50s or okay. Somewhere. I don't know, somewhere in there.
Decently modern book though.
Yes. Yeah. But I felt, even though it's similar to Great Gatsby in that it's not a feel-good book, I have always really loved the movie, and I really enjoyed the book because I feel like a lot of, I don't know about men, but I feel like a lot of young girls can feel that way when they're getting out of high school, and you just kind of feel like you've had this like glamorous life fed to you your entire life of like, yeah, go to the big city and find your thing that you're going to do, and you just kind of feel a little restless and kind of glamorize that and want to do that. And this book is just about her realizing that that's not, like, it's so empty. Like, it's just totally empty.
Yeah. Yeah. J.R. Vassar preached a sermon about this a long time ago, whenever Jared and I were early married. And it's, you know, you have certain sermons that you've heard that you just, it's still in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that I still remember. And it was like this, like the urban deception of how urban fancy life is going to be what finally satisfies. Like if I finally get this glamorous life in the city, it's going to be like the TV show Friends or Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
This really tight-knit crew, and we're going to always be at each other's houses and doing fun and stuff and laughing and living this life. But it's not, you know, that's not what will finally satisfy you. But yeah, I think it is such a common thread. That's interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The philosophy behind it.
I definitely had plans to move to a big
city. Oh, I was going to Nashville.
Yes. I was going to South Carolina or North Carolina.
Mm.
I could be a writer.
It's so funny.
Yes.
Funny.
Yeah.
I was going to go. No, I was going to Nashville to open a store. I was going to have a boutique. Yeah.
Awesome.
So you guys are going to be right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's on brand.
Yeah.
So it's really funny though, because whenever Jared and I first started dating, and I was a senior at SIU, and you know, I'm telling him my glamorous plans for my urban fanciness, and he's like, well, we should probably just stop dating then, because I'm not doing that. And I was like, oh, just kidding.
I
laugh about that now, because like all feminism flew out the window when a handsome man was like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, oh, me neither. Let's get married. I'm just kidding. I want to have your babies.
Let's stay here forever.
Yeah.
Kate, did you have plans to go to a big city? Did you get that restless?
Not really. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I wanted to go to the mountains and was going to be a dental hygienist, which I am, but I didn't really have a ton of plans. I was like, I just want to move to some mountains, which probably would be near a city somewhere, you know? And I wanted to write and just explore new territory.
It's funny. All of you wanted to write.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, I have done. I feel like we've all done a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, I did in different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you have any other? I think that's all my fiction.
We just going to circle you and go back.
Sure.
Next, Becky.
Yeah. I won't go through all of the fiction I read, because some of it was, sorry, I'm losing my voice. I'm fine.
She just started smoking this
morning. I did. You know, I thought it would bring down my cortisol levels. So just thought it'd be
nicotine,
good.
Nicotine, baby.
It'd be a good thing to pick up.
Really?
No, I have no idea. I have no clue.
Probably.
as you can tell, I highly recommend. Does wonders for the voices or for the voice. But I some of this last year with fiction was me, as I've shared before, I for years did not think I liked fiction. Even though I like fiction for children, I thought all grown up fiction was either
for children.
Yeah, all fiction was just for children, you know? It's like that was just kind of, you leave that behind in childhood. And so this last couple years has been me trying to figure out what my fiction groove is. So I kind of sampled lots of different things this year. And some of the ones I read were not ones that I would recommend. So they weren't bad. It was just kind of like, I don't know why I just read that.
Yeah. Isn't that the worst when you're like, I've spent 3 days plowing through this book and I am unsatisfied. And now I must go find another.
I force myself to get to page 100.
Yeah.
I force myself to go to page 100. And if I still don't like it, I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my smart.
But sometimes you're at 50 and you're like, I hate it so bad.
Yeah.
Jared's always like, quit. And I'm like, I got to get to 100. He's like, life's too short.
That's true. Quit the book.
Yeah.
I will say one series I read, I mentioned last year, I read a couple from this series, or I guess just the first one at that point when we recorded our books episode last year, but the Gabrielle Meyer Timeless series. I really enjoy that. So it's historical fiction where you have parallel, or you have two different timelines that the person travels between. It's written from it's written by a Christian author. And so there's biblical themes woven throughout, like God's sovereignty is really powerful in there and things like that. So it's always cool to see how she weaves things together. She doesn't leave loose ends, which I like. I don't mind loose ends in a book if you get to the end and you're like, okay, I can kind of fill in those blanks. But sometimes books just drop off the face of the map and you're like, that was angering. Like I wanted more. So, but I really like Gabrielle Meyer does a good job weaving those ends together. So this year I read For a Lifetime and Across the Ages. Across the Ages was my favorite. That one was a timeline in post-Civil War era in South Carolina, I think. And then, oh no, I can't remember the year of the other timeline she was in, but it was involved pirates.
Oh,
so it was very cool. So I liked that one. I could not handle her fifth one, which I'm really sad about, but it involved Jack the Ripper. And I got to the, and she does.
You get on a theme with Mecki. She can't handle anything a little scary or unsettling.
You're not a true crime girl.
No,
I can't do it. But I love this series so much that I so badly wanted to read the fifth book. And so I was reading it and Brandon came in one night. He's like, you went to bed 3 hours ago. Why are you still awake? And I was like, I'm really scared. He's like, well, put the book down. I was like, but I have to know what happens. But she keeps describing these murders. And he's like, why are you reading this? So I had to call my sister and get the Cliff's Notes of it because she does, you do see some of the characters again. You can read them standalone or you can read them in order. I recommend reading them in order, but I had to get the Cliff's Notes and figure out how everything turned out. But could not handle
that. How many have you read now?
I've read four.
You've read four of them. And how many is there?
She just released two more this last year. So I think she's up to, or maybe one more this last year. So she's up to six.
Okay.
Six or seven. Cool. But yeah, I couldn't handle that one.
Ignore. Make it stop.
So I finished the fourth one. Liked that one. Fifth one, only if you can handle stuff.
In general. Only if you're into Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. But she does, what I've heard from people is she does it very tastefully. It was literally like two sentences that tripped me up. I can't hear about how somebody was murdered. I couldn't handle it. No, I know. I'm a sissy and it's okay. I'm okay with it.
You're sweet.
You are sweet as hard
I have ever known.
I know. One of my books, I don't even know if I can talk about with Mecki.
It's okay. I'll just make my ears.
Earmuffs, Mecki, as I
bring earmuffs.
Yeah. But so I liked those. And then I read one that, it was kind of heartachingly beautiful. It was called The Last Garden in England. And it was written about a garden that, I don't know, maybe I just like books that have lots of different timelines in them. But it's a
historical, I found my theme.
Multiple timelines.
What it is.
Actually, that is actually a theme in all of my, in a lot of my fiction books that I actually enjoy. But this one was, it's, the whole book is about this one garden in England. But it's written from three different women's perspectives of like over time, how the garden was like One of the perspectives is the lady who planted the garden and designed it and her story, and then how it's used in World War II, like the home that it's around is used as like a hospital for soldiers and, you know, all of that. So it's a beautiful book. There are some really hard things in it, and I definitely cried in it at the end, but I can't give, like, you know, trigger warnings or anything without giving away the plot. So just know that there are some hard things in that book, but it was really beautifully done. And that was by Julia Kelly. And then another one was that I wasn't expecting to like was called The Extraordinary Deaths of Mrs. Kipp. And I also cried in that one. But it's by Sarah Brunswald. And it's the story of a journalist who's, she's kind of an emerging journalist. She's not a believer and has some hard things in her past. And then she gets connected with this story. She gets assigned this story to write an obituary for a lady who's actually living in a nursing home. And so she gets to interview the lady that she's writing an obituary for. And then you hear more and more about Mrs. Kipp and how she lived her life, and you see her personality and all of that. And it is real. The last like chapter is just incredible. So that one I highly recommend. And then the other author I read this year was Amanda Dykes. I read a book called All the Lost Things.
I've heard of that.
And it was very good. It was very good. I read a couple of her other books and I really enjoyed them. There's also a couple different timelines. You know,
this is so funny.
Becky likes historical fiction with multiple timelines. I just think it's cool to see the same space or the same people woven in and see how time changes people and things and how stories intertwine. I really like things like that. So those were my top favorites from the year.
Okay, before Jordan goes, I have a book for you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mention it because it was actually the second time I've read it, but I read The Man in the Dark by Dunn Wilson.
Oh,
I've read that
one. Okay, I was going to say you love that one.
And I also cried in that one. Like the it. Oh, yeah, I can't say.
Like
can't
the switch.
Yes.
Like the total like shock in the end.
Yeah. Oh, it was beautiful. That was one of my favorites.
Get through it. Awesome. It was like a real slow mover for me. I like committed real hard and I was like, you know what? I really want to read it. And in the middle, I was like, nothing is happening.
It's not the best book you've ever read or anything.
Yeah, well, but it's a good book. Switch. You're just going to have to tell me what happened because I just sold my book to Rick, to someone at church.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm never going to read it. It was so boring.
You should have just skipped to the end.
My problem is I'm used to war. And that's your theme?
That's your theme, isn't it?
So anyway, tell me after this.
Yes. Is that your theme? Wartime?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's your theme.
Mm-hmm. What were your fiction, Kate?
I actually only read one fiction. I did not have a bookish year. I had more of a podcasty year.
So
I had a baby and I was real sick when I was pregnant in the beginning and felt like I didn't get a lot in, spent a lot of time outside with my toddler. So, but this year is shaping up to be much better with books. So anyway, I read Timeless #1, which is When the Day Comes, and I sobbed like a baby the last
time. Oh, yeah. So good. I read that one this year too.
Becky got us all on that. So now I'm on the second one.
You're welcome. What I thought about that book was like 3/4 of the book was pretty good. The last quarter of the book is fantastic.
Yes.
One of the best endings to a book I have ever read. And it's very cool to read the after notes that she has at the end about what was happening in her life. She had a diagnosis for something, waiting for the results of if she had cancer or something like that. And her trust in the Lord and how that kind of influenced how the book ended.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. I think that was my only fiction, actually. Unless, I don't know what My Dear Hemlock falls under.
It's kind of like in between.
Yes.
Because it is a fictional book.
Right.
The stories in it are fictional.
That's a great book. We read that for the Ladies Book Club over the summer, and we really enjoyed doing that. And I thought it lent itself very well to a group discussion.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a book for Ladies Book Club kind of thing at your church, I loved that one. Did you see that we're doing Pilgrim's Progress 2?
Yes.
This summer, so I'm very excited. I've never read I've read kid versions of the Pilgrim's Progress to my kids, but I've never read the whole Pilgrim's Progress, the first one. Have you? So I'm excited to do that and read the second one with the girls at church this summer, so that'll be cool.
Yeah.
My fiction this year, I didn't have a super bookish year either, I don't think. I told them last week I stopped keeping track of my books mid-year. I don't know why. But whenever we were talking about doing the book list, I was like, I haven't written down any books in a long time. Just hadn't crossed my mind to write them down or keep keeping track of them. I don't know why. And I
have a list with
I do. Okay, so I have kept track of my books since like 2018. So I have a note in my phone that continues from 2018.
Yeah.
All the books this year, I like stopped recording. I don't know. I just didn't cross my mind anymore. It was really weird. I don't know why that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've mentioned before, at the beginning of the year, I started reading books that were ones that we owned. And there were some that were like some YA-ish books that I thought the kids, like Ransom probably would start being in the age that he would enjoy. But I wanted to, there's a lot of weird YA. So yeah. I wanted to check in on those. But one really fun one that I read was Enchanted Emporium. But my theme is magic stuff. I love magical fantasy fiction, magical realism. I love anything magical. So that was a really fun one that I read that is safe for young adults. Okay, I wrote down a couple ones that I did with the kids, so I don't want to mention those. My big book that I read this year that I absolutely loved was Kristen Lovin's Daughter by Sigrid Undset, and I love that book.
That's my list for this year. I started it, I got like 2 pages in, and I was like, Jesus, right?
It's, big books are overwhelming. Like, yeah. But it did not take me long to read that book. I thought that it would.
Yeah.
When I read Anna Karenina, it took me a long time.
That took us a long time.
It took us a long time. Yeah, we read that together.
8 months.
It took us all.
We fought through that thing.
Yeah. But I think Kristen Lovinsetter is longer than Anna Karenina, but it did not. I mean, I think it took me like a month and a half. I don't know how, but I busted through it and I physically read most of it. I would listen to it occasionally, but I was having to look it up on YouTube. So that's just inconvenient for me. So I mainly read it, and it is one of my very favorite books I've ever read in my entire life. I love it so much. It's just so real and raw. And it is historical fiction for you ladies who like historical fiction. It's set in 14th century Norway. So I love the whole medieval setting. Like I like that kind of setting, and like the women from that era just seems so tough and amazing to me anyway, and she is no different. So just the book follows her from childhood on. I think it starts when she's 7 years old and it ends when she dies. So you get just this slice of her entire life, and there's themes in it of like the consequences of sin.
Mm-hmm.
She falls into like a lustful relationship when she's young and ends up marrying this man, and just kind of the consequences of a relationship starting out in sin. And he's, you know, he has flaws, she has flaws. But you just get the realness of they do care about each other really deeply and love each other. But it started out with such lust, and she feels guilt over this sin, and that follows her through her life. But then just like the beauty and ruggedness of motherhood in that time, and her caring for a home and doing an amazing job caring for their estate, it made me want to wear long skirts and have a knife on my belt. That was a big theme for me. I'm like, I need a tiny dagger and a sheath on a belt with my skirts. That would be so useful. Or a necklace with a dagger. I'm into that also.
So you have 2 boys that might be happy to make you a tiny dagger.
They
could whittle you a dagger.
A little leather. Jared could make me a little leather sheath. He was into making wallets for a while. He could. I have family members that could make this happen for me. Jared, hint for my birthday next year.
Tiny dagger.
Yeah, but it was an amazing book, and I can't recommend it enough. There's definitely some like raw parts of that too, so a little bit of warning for that. But just. I can't recommend it enough. I loved it so much. So I read The Time Crosser 1 and 2, When This Day Comes and In This Moment. Is In This Moment the one with September 11th?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I started the third one, so I couldn't remember which was which. But I didn't finish the third one. I got bored.
Oh, okay.
And it's with the Salem Witch Trials. So I thought that I was going to really be into that, but it has 3 characters in it. Because twins.
Grace, 2 characters.
What's
Grace, Grace and Hope. That's that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. It follows twins.
It
normally follows one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for some reason I kept getting them mixed up, and I just couldn't follow it, so halfway through I abandoned it.
After page 100.
And it's really good, and they do play into the fourth.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But I do. I like that series. And I like finding an author that is a Christian author that you know it's going to be clean. You know it's going to be fun to read. Gabriel Meyer is a good one for that. I read another Heather Weber book. She's one of my favorite magical realism. This one was called In the Middle of Hickory Lane. I have that.
Have you read it yet?
On my list. No, because it said something about bones in the first chapter.
Yes.
And I was like, there's going to be a dead body somewhere. I can't
do it. It's not scary. It's not scary.
Okay. No. Shania was going to read it first for me. She's like, because it's her book. And she let me borrow it. And she's like, do you want me to read it first? I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah.
And then tell me if there's a body in here because I can't.
There is, but it's not. Uh-huh. You're happy that person died, though. So it's okay.
Okay. You Becky won't be reading this.
You feel fine about the murder.
No.
So it follows like a cousin and a grandma and a girl who didn't have a relationship with her mom. And it's just kind of a beautiful coming of age tale of like she reconnects with family members and discovers her magical self. You know, Heather Weber, it's not like magical powers,
right?
It's like someone's really intuitive about something. Mm-hmm. Like that's their magic, you know? So this one is no different. There's like the grandma and both the cousins. Like one of them is really great with color, I think. Like they can really know what color a building should be or something like that. So it's like magic like that. Like I just intuitively know what color something should be painted. But so it's not like someone can walk through walls. But I really like Heather Weber's books. So the Ronald Dahl book that I mentioned a couple of
back.
I still am not done with it. So I feel nervous. I don't know if Jared ended up editing that out of that one podcast because I didn't. Okay. So I don't know if there's anything like bad in any of the stories because Ronald Dahl is like a questionable character. But he has this book called Unexpected Tales. And I touched on that in a previous episode. And it's just a very fun book. Like I said, if you like The Twilight Zone, if you like unexpected stories and like mystery and like you don't know where this is going and it just ends so clever, then you would like this book. But if you're like Becky and you're like, no, don't talk about murder. Don't get that book because there's lots of murder happening. But it's just like a fun, quirky, it's not scary. It's just like fun, quirky, weird stories.
I didn't even know he wrote adult books.
All
the kids' books.
Yes. So, you know, his kid books are really clever.
But yeah, they're just hilarious.
Yeah, they're so clever and hilarious. And this is the stories are so clever. They end so funny, but it is like murder mysteries.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example of one. Well, like one of the first ones is a woman murders her husband with a frozen lamb chop that she was going to cook for dinner. Like whacks it on the head. Whacks her in the head with a frozen lamb chop. He was just like being horrific to her. I think he had confessed that he had an affair or something. And she just like snapped. He snapped and like whacks him in the head with a frozen lamb chop. Earmuffs, Becky, earmuffs.
Yeah, I'm mortified.
And mortified. Anyways, she ends up coming up with this idea of like how to cover it up. And she like goes to the, puts the lamb chop in the oven to cook it. She's like, I'm gonna go ahead and make dinner with this and with the murder weapon. And then she goes to the grocery to get some sides. And it's like, you know, my husband's at home, I'm gonna cook a nice dinner for him, telling the butcher that as she's getting her rest of her food at the grocery.
Alibi.
And yes, exactly. And then she comes home and calls the police. It's like, oh my gosh, my husband's been murdered. I came home and he was murdered. And then the story ends with her being like, detective, please, I could not eat this dinner, you know, knowing that he was murdered here as it was baking here. And it ends with the detective saying their murder weapon has to be right under our noses as he's eating the lamb chop. So it's stories like that. It's like so clever, so unbelievably clever and funny. So, yeah, if you like stuff like that, it's called The Unexpected Tales or something like that. Becky's gonna have nightmares. I told you to earmuff and you didn't do it. So
okay, I will never make lamb chops ever. Can't do it. I'm mortified.
I kind of think that might be all of my fiction. That's all that I remember of my fiction. I read that one Christmas book. I mentioned that in a previous episode. Can't remember what it was called right now. Who's the guy that wrote all the fairy tales?
Grimm?
No.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes. I read those Christmas stories and I loved that too.
Oh, cool.
Those are more that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Matchstick.
The Matchstick Girl.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That
the Matchstick Girl.
I know. I was very. Okay. I told this on the Christmas episode, but you weren't here. I had read a few of them and they're just like cute little stories. So then the kids were cuddled up with me one night and I started reading The Matchstick Girl. And it ends, you know how it ends. Uh-oh. And Valor and Pravi are cuddled up with me and I'm like, she was very cold and went with her grandma.
The end.
Editing.
You know that Disney made a short?
What?
About, you know, like the little shorts that they make and play before.
They made a short of the Matchstick Girl?
A little Matchstick Girl short.
Is she frozen to death at the end?
Well, it doesn't show her frozen to death, but it definitely implies that she's frozen.
Whoa. That would not be a Disney.
Visualize it.
Okay, we don't have a ton of time. We have 9 minutes. Quickly go through your nonfiction and life application. Jay-Z, go.
Okay. So we talked about My Dear Hemlock a little bit. I thought it was amazing how well she knows women.
Crazy. I know. Like, even some things that I have not thought about myself before, yeah, but was crazy convicted by. Yes. I was like, whoa, I do that.
It's like I never put it into words.
Yes.
I have done that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Death by Living by Wilson.
Yeah.
That was, oh my gosh, it was so good. It's just, it's about, well, death by living, not wasting your life being little. We have one life here,
yeah,
and live it like, yeah, you have one life and do everything big. And it's just, oh, it's amazing.
That's a great New Year's read. I read that on New Year's a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's a great one. Even with like hospitality or whatever overwhelms you in life, to just say the phrase in your mind, death by living. Like,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. 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 Like I said, I'm going to cry if I talk too much about this. But it's just really good. And then the other nonfiction I read, I actually wanted to recommend to you all, especially you, because you're kind of getting Academy started and everything, and it's new. It's called Non Nobis, which means not for us. And it's about the founding of Lovas School in Moscow.
That would be cool to read.
And it's Tom Garfield wrote it. He was the principal when it was founded. And it's just so good. And even though I'm not starting a school, it was very, very good. It's,
yes.
Yeah. Just about small beginnings. Mm-hmm. And you would never think, like, looking at a place like Moscow, mm-hmm, now, you just kind of think of them like, well, they're in their heyday. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a beginning, mm-hmm, and it was very small, and it was, yeah, nothing. You know, he talks about the teachers were paid so little that they had this shelf in one of the hallways where people would donate canned goods so the teachers
could eat.
And yes.
Goodness.
Yes. And it's like, you just think about, like, it just literally started from nothing. And that's what we all have. We've, yeah, all been given a very small blessing, and we can turn it into, yep, a huge thing. And, mm-hmm, yeah,
that's cool.
My Christian Living Applied, I won't share all of them because there were some that were good, but it was chew the meat, spit out the bones kind of situation. One that I really, really loved was A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. I loved that one. So he goes through verse by verse through Psalm 23, and he is a shepherd. And so he's explaining the depths and the beauties of Psalm 23 from the perspective of a shepherd. Wow. And and Psalm 23 was one of those things up until this last year where it was like, well, you know, you memorize it, but you don't really think about it. And this last year, it actually came to mean something very deep to me. And so getting to go through that verse by verse in that book was very, very cool. I loved that one. Another one that was a favorite that I recommend is called Held by Abby Wedgeworth. And it's for women going through miscarriage or child loss or infant loss. I will say, she doesn't hold back when it comes to sharing experiences. For me, it was really helpful. She had several other women contribute and share what their experiences were like. So if that's something that really is hard for you, I would stay away from that. But it was healing for me because sometimes in miscarriage, you feel very alone. Mm. You feel very isolated, and you feel like, I don't know what's normal. Mm. Like, you're told your baby's called a product of conception by a doctor. And this last year I had to have a DNC, and it just, things that I didn't have to have with my first miscarriage. And so every experience is so unique and so different that sometimes it feels very isolating, and it feels very lonely, and it feels very dark. And so hearing other women say, hey, I've walked the depths of this valley too, and the Lord sustained me, is very, very comforting.
Yeah.
But just know that there are some very detailed, like, this was my experience in miscarriage, you know? So if that's, it was deeply comforting to me, but just know walking into that. But I highly recommend it for anyone, even if you have lost a child or a baby and you haven't fully processed it, even if it's not something you're walking through right now, like, you know, recently, I still recommend it as a good read. It was fantastic. I feel like she addressed all of the things, all of the parts of your brain and your heart that can kind of fall away during miscarriage and walking through that, or just kind of get stuck in ruts. She addressed all of those lovingly, gently, but in kind of a, come on, I'm going to walk with you through this. So that was really good. I read Teach Them to Work by Mary Beek. And I really liked that one. It was all about teaching your children how to have a good work ethic. Basically, she had some practical tips. She had some biblical encouragements in there. I thought that was really good.
Brandon and I have been eyeball deep in Dave Ramsey for like 2 years. And so this year, and we read one of his books, Financial Peace University, when we first got married. But then this last year, I listened on audiobook to Total Money Makeover. He wrote that more recently. I think it came out like last year or year before, something like that. And so it's kind of revamped. And so it just kind of like re-encouraged us. And so I liked that one. I have endometriosis. And so one book that my midwife suggested was Hormone Intelligence by Dr. Aviva Roth. I will say she is a feminist. So, you know, that is definitely a spit out the bones when she says, you're a woman.
Yeah.
You know, great. And there's some stuff in there where you're like, no, women don't rule the world, actually. So just know there's some feministic guru in there, and I am not advocating for that. However, she has an endometriosis protocol in there that has been incredibly healing for me this year. And I think women just in general should read it. She has information about birth control. She has information about endometriosis and what things should be, what things shouldn't be, you know, all kinds of stuff. So even if you're just a normal, healthy woman, it's still really helpful to learn about your hormones and how they actually function in your body. I haven't read any others. Okay.
I don't remember what it was.
And that one's more of like, you want that for a reference book so you can go back. Like, I was taking notes of like, okay, when June and Elsie get to be this age, I'm going to walk through, I'm going to teach them these things, you know.
That's really helpful too, just as a side note. Okay. Like, search for website for whatever is going on.
Yeah, cool.
Sore throat. She
has that passion on herbs, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. She balances Western medicine with like natural things very, very well. Two others that I really enjoyed, The Opt Out Family was fantastic. She's talking about the impact of social media and screens and technology on our children. There are some things in there. I'm not advocating for my 7-year-old to go in a grocery store by himself so that he can grow up without anxiety. That's not something that I'm going to advocate for. So that's another thing where just know Becky's not fully bolstering that book saying, here, read this in its entirety and accept it all. But by and large, it was a very good read. And then the last one that I would recommend is Unbroken by Lauren Hillenbrand.
So good.
I had to do that one through audio because something about reading it is very, very difficult.
I mean, there's pictures too, which are pretty crazy.
Which I didn't, I was all through audiobook. So that was I'm going to push my heart limits a little bit because hearing about the prisoner of war camps and things like that was really, really difficult for me. But seeing his spirit and how God used all of that was incredible. So
it's really cool how I got saved at the Billy Graham crusade.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Spoiler,
that's Louis.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that one.
No, it was very good.
Really, really good.
There were parts that made me sick to my stomach, but it was good.
We're kind of out of time. Your class starts
in
1 minute, but I just finished Don't Be Dumb by Rachel Jenkovich, and it's so good.
Yeah.
I recommend it for women across the board, not just teenagers, because it's just full of practical slap you in the face moments of like, oh, yeah, duh, don't do that. Don't waste your time with this. Don't be dumb. So it's just an excellent book. So
yeah. No time to be dumb.
What did I say? Don't be dumb?
I don't remember.
No time to be dumb.
I read Band of Brothers, which I watched the miniseries, both postpartums, so fantastic. And so I finally read the book. Really, really good if you're interested in World War II at all. And then I read You Bet Your Stretch Marks by Abby Halberstadt. That was my postpartum read. It's really encouraging. Kind of reads like a blog. It's not super deep in terms of, I guess, wording, but really good concepts, convicting, encouraging.
I've never read any of her stuff, and I know a lot of people
read, but she's convicting, really encouraging, mom of 10, homeschools, does all the things.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I guess that we finished just in time. Becky just walked out to go teach her class. So we're going to do a kids book one eventually of what we read with our kids this year and what our kids are reading. But for now, that was the book set episode. So thank you for listening.